Good afternoon, everyone. Let's have the Civic Board meeting for February 26th begin. Roll call.
Chair Shaw, Vice Chair Kilkenny, Treasurer Vasquez, Secretary Robinson, and Directors Geisler, Rath, and Russell are present. Director Avila is excused.
Thank you. Item two is non-agenda public comment.
There are none.
Thank you. Item three, disclosures, ex parte communication.
Chair, I spoke with a member of the Carpenters Union regarding items 7 and 8.
All right. Anybody else? No? Excellent. Item 4, potential agenda items for the board. See none. Great. Item 5 is the approval of the minutes from January 29th. Oops. Okay, I'm wrong.
That's I'll make it. There's no corporation report. We'll make it simple. No corporation report this month.
All right, perfect. Let's do item 6 then, which is approval of minutes from the annual meeting, January 29, and the regular meeting of January 29, 2020 for both. I have a motion and a second. Please vote. Excellent. All right, moving on to the regular agenda. Item 7. Staff report? No?
Brief staff report from Council. for the reasons set forth in your staff report, we recommend that you vote to reconsider your design review decision of October 23rd, 2019. If you desire to make this motion, it should be made by one of the 6 board members who voted originally to deny design review. If the motion passes regarding item 7, then you would move to item 8 to consider a modified design for the project.
Thank you.
You should vote to reconsider whether you're going to reconsider and then look at the design. By voting to reconsider, you're not committing yourself in any way, so you would then just move to item 8, and so procedurally, that's how it should be done.
There's a non-binding vote on that, right?
Correct. So voting, yes, if the motion is made on 7, doesn't commit you to taking any action on 8.
Thank you.
We have 2 speaker slips on item 7. The first one is Doug Hicks, who is opposed.
Good afternoon, board. This board made a difficult decision to defend the values of San Diego. They stood up and said, "We are a voice for all of those in San Diego who don't have the opportunity to come into this meeting today." They stood up for unity, they stood up for equality, and they said that we are not going to have a separate but equal policy in San Diego, and for that decision, we thank you. Pinnacle comes in today to wave their money around. They brought their lawyers and they banged the tables, and they said, we have enough money, it doesn't matter what the character is, it doesn't matter what the morality of the situation is, we have the money to bang the table loud enough to get what we want. This board made a very principled decision before. Now we're going to see what Pinnacle wants to do. They're threatening lawsuits. They're banging the table again. Is that who San Diego is? Is that our character? We falter in the face of money. I like to think this is a San Diego for everyone. Civic San Diego showed that vote the last time. This is a San Diego for all, regardless of your economic status. Whenever San Diego makes the national headlines, we usually get excited. But not when it's a headline about segregation, racism, something that's inspired litigation or legislation now banning things that Pinnacle brought to light. We thought things like corridors were well dead in our society, as well they should be. But instead, California is now having to write legislation because of what Pinnacle's brought a black eye to the city of San Diego. So for the board, we thank you for your previous principled stance. And moving forward, I hope that Pinnacle can't buy virtue in the city of San Diego. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Armando Nunes.
You didn't indicate on here whether you're opposed or supporting or neutral, but for the record.
Yeah, for the record, thank you. I'm opposed to this project. I want to thank the board for the decision last time that we were out here. I know it was definitely got a lot of attention. We got media coverage. But today what I want to point out is just the record that Pinnacle International has done in the community of San Diego and the city as well, which is of that of being a bad actor. You know, we've gone through all the Pinnacle on the Park restrooms, that whole fiasco, everything from the way they contract. And ultimately, it is not until somebody stands up and brings it up to attention that they decide to fix a problem, which just tells me that they're going to try to get away with whatever it is that they can unless they are caught. You know, and that's not the way things should be operating. That's not the way things should work around here in San Diego or any place. You know, you should put your best foot forward right out of the gate, not see what you can get away with until you're caught or somebody brings it up, and then make the changes. The corridor was the one that got the most attention here in San Diego. As my partner pointed out, it created statewide legislature to address this. But, I mean, first of all, somebody had to bring it up, and that ultimately seems to be Pinnacle International. That creates all these problems. So we understand what you guys are facing today and the decisions that you have to make, but I just wanted to go on record stating that, you know, kind of what seems to be the obvious to us, that may not be for the rest of the community. Thank you.
Thank you. That is our last speaker slip, Mr. Rath.
Well, I'm not hearing a lot of opposition to re-debating the project. I think that there are perspectives on whether the revised project is good or not. So I would move approval of the reconsideration. If a revised project's been submitted, then people have their right to have a hearing about it with no guarantee of an outcome. But I certainly wouldn't stop at this point.
Why don't we have a motion and a second? Any other board comment? I don't not seeing any. Okay, let's vote.
The motion passes with Director Robinson voting no.
All right, thank you. We are going to move to item number 8. Mr. Richter.
Yes, good afternoon. Brad Richter, Deputy Director of the Urban Division in the City of San Diego. Just a brief recap of the project for you today. You've seen it a couple times before, so I won't go into any depth. The project is located on a 30,000 half-block site on the east side of 11th Avenue between A and B Streets in the East Village neighborhood. The past meetings, the board saw this project at both its July meeting and its October meeting. We have reviewed the revised proposal and continue to find the project meets all city codes and ordinances, and therefore we're recommending design review of the project. And with that, I'll turn it over to the applicants who will make their presentation.
Good afternoon, board members. Thank you very much for this opportunity to represent this project to you. My name is David Dick. I'm here on behalf of Pinnacle International, the sponsor of the project. Dennis Rogers is the architect on the project, and I'm just going to take a brief opportunity here to run you through the changes that we have made to the project. But first, let me say that in July, we brought a project to you that we thought was within the bounds of the rules and regulations, and we heard very loud and clear your disapproval of various aspects of the project. We came back in October with a different approach, which you did not like, and we decided that we would go back and re-listen to what you had to say in July. And we found that there were a number of things about the project that we could modify to address those concerns. And so I'm here to describe today what those things are that we're proposing to modify to address those concerns. So this is a description of the project as proposed in July. And then if, Dennis, you can go to the next one to show the project as we are currently proposing it, and I'll walk you through the changes. So one of the things that was talked about in July was the fact that there were two entrances to the project, one for the market rate units and one for the affordable units. We have eliminated the second entrance. We have one common entrance for the entire project. Dennis is showing it there. And we actually moved the entrance north on the site in order to center it as close as we could and keep all the other ground level amenities and other features in place in order to make it clear that this was an entrance to the entire project. And although I'm not in charge of giving addresses to buildings downtown, I believe that this building will have a single address. So everybody in this building will live in the 1200 block of 11th Avenue. They won't live in 1220 or 1250. They'll live in 1200 or whatever the number ends up being. So it's a single entrance. The single entrance leads into a common lobby. So all residents in the building will enter into the same entrance into a common lobby. There is a common reception area. Dennis is showing that there. We moved that in order for it to be located in a way that it receives both the residents to the rent-restricted affordable units and to the residents of the market rate units. When a resident returns to the building to collect their mail, they will go to a common mail area. That area is in the back. And their mail will, everybody who lives in the building and the rent-restricted units, the affordable units, and the market rate units will collect their mail in the same place. And if they have packages, the package delivery area will be there as well. So we have a common entrance, a common lobby, a common reception, common mail room. And once they've collected their mail, they'll then be able to move into the common lobby, which we have expanded in size and we have highly amenitized. And so we have a common amenitized lobby for all residents of the building, both those in the rent-restricted units and those in the affordable units. The affordable residents remain in the podium building. It is a separate building. So that is one thing we were not able to change. But what we have done is we have changed the experience of entering that building by widening the corridor that leads from the common lobby and mail area down the hallway. We've expanded it, basically doubled it in width. So it is a much more present sort of experience as you walk down the building to the elevators that will service the podium building. I believe those are the common amenities that now exist all on the first floor. So again, everybody enters, common entrance, common lobby, amenitized lobby, common mail room, common packages, common reception, and a expanded and enhanced experience for entering into the rent-restricted units in the podium building. Dennis, if you could go to the next one, please. So this is the layout of the fourth level on the podium, the fourth level of the project. And what it shows here is the deck that was on the fourth level in the original plan in July. So Dennis, if you go to the next one, please. This shows the new layout of the common amenity deck on the fourth level. It's accessible to all residents of the project, both those in the rent-restricted units and those in the affordable units. It's accessible directly from the affordable and directly from the market rate units. There is a common area, I think Dennis is right there now, that we have added. That is a common area that will be available for use by the residents in the rent-restricted units. We haven't identified what the programming for that space will be. It could be a gym, it could be a lounge area of some kind, or it could be a common room for programming. I know that one of the things that in affordable units, the operators of affordable communities like to do is to have spaces available for programming for residents, financial literacy, other sorts of programs that are there to help the residents with their living needs. And so that common space is there for that purpose. And we will leave it to the operator and the residents to decide how that space would be programmed. The other thing we did, it's largely symbolic, I think, but it is reflective of one of the things that was mentioned at the meeting in July, and that we have reconfigured the units both in the market rate area and in the rent restricted units, right where Dennis is showing there, to have the units back up to each other as opposed to have a corridor which runs north-south along the property and into the buildings, which would give the appearance that what you had was a wall that basically divided the two communities. We decided that we would better just sort of optically, if you will, to reconfigure the project so that those units actually back up to each other. Dennis, would you go to the next slide, please? These are some elevations. One of the things that we also did was we've changed the exterior appearance of the building, of the podium building, I should say. And there'll be 58 units, by the way, in the podium building. At least that's the current plan is for the 58 units. Won't be any more than that. And the podium building is now no longer stucco skinned. It'll now be skinned with a fiber cement panel system that will be much more attractive. And then there'll be additional glazing on the 11th and I think that's B Street side of the building over where Dennis is showing. And then there's a retail space right there in the corner. This will make the podium building appear to be much more integrated with the market rate building in terms of the exterior appearance. And so what we've tried to do here, again, is to, for all intents and purposes from the outside, make it appear as it is, a single project with a single entrance and a single identity, if you will. And the only difference is that the affordable units will be located in the podium building. So while we concede that we didn't respond to every single item of criticism, I would describe it as a plurality of the items that were of concern expressed in July. We believe we've expressed those, rather we've addressed those in a way that we think is consistent with a unified common community that everybody there will be able to enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you. We have two speaker slips on this item. Mr. Gary Smith has indicated he's in favor.
Good afternoon, directors. Gary Smith, president of San Diego Downtown Residents Group. The integration of the building visually is much better than it was. Having a single building or two separate buildings would still be a better approach, but visually it appears much better than it did. Our only objection is still the east wall, the one that faces out on the McDonald's parking lot and the McDonald's restaurant. The renderings look very nice until you picture how big that is. And it looks like, you know, endless graffiti billboard sitting up against a parking lot right across from City College. I don't know what you can do about that other than ensuring whatever you put on there is scrubbable or easily paintable, because that is not something that's going to be able to be kept under control by Clean and Safe or the police. It's just simply too big and too exposed. But other than that wall, we think this project does, in fact, add to that area of the city, visually attractive, and we like the architectural solution, and we're happy that we'll be getting more affordable units in that part of town. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Our second and last speaker is Doug Hicks, who has indicated he is opposed.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I believe I'm looking at a miracle. When we first talked to Pinnacle about this project, they said this could not be done. They said we cannot conjoin these buildings. We cannot share amenities. It simply couldn't be done. And miraculously, when they heard the word no, they found a way. So I don't know if they found religion, if the architect has seen some kind of a miracle in the code, but all of a sudden, they could come back with a building that doesn't look like discrimination. Now, they can share a common amenity up to the fourth floor, but they can't share a hallway? While I think this is a good step in the right direction, I've got to look at it. They say we can't put anything in there that joins the hallways. So if you have a kid that lives in one building and their friend lives in the other, they have to go down to the lobby to go up to the next hallway, even if they both live on the fourth floor? There's something that seems odd about that, that they can't conjoin the buildings. I would say this. They heard the word no, and they found a design alternative. There's still the option of saying, we can do better. We can find a way for a rated corridor. It's a simple solution. But I still see a separate but equal. We can't figure out how to conjoin corridors. We can share a front door. We can share a mailbox. We can share a pool deck, but we can't share a hallway. It's just a thought. Sometimes hearing the word no encourages people to go back and find alternative solutions, better design alternatives. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Kilkenny.
I'll make a motion to grant design review approval for the Pinnacle Pacific Heights projects.
Okay. Motion and a second. Director Robinson?
Give me one second. Sorry about that. They're actually loading docks on both sides. So on the A Street side, we have a loading dock here, and it is back serviced by this elevator here. And on B Street, we have a loading dock right here that comes around and would be serviced back over here.
So is that a use for everybody, or the separate loading docks for one side and the other side?
There are loading docks for each side.
So if you live on the low-income side, you got to use the dock to the left, to the north.
Correct.
If you live on the condominiums, you got to use the dock for the high rise. Why is that?
One reason is just access to the elevators and being able to get across the building and the length of the building. You potentially could come through the loading dock and through the lobby to the other elevators from one side or the other. To me, it seemed more convenient to have loading docks near the elevators for both projects.
But you do have a hallway there. You do have an entrance. And it connects to that common area, right?
You could go through here, yes. You could come from this loading dock around and down, come through this corridor, down this corridor, and then access these pair of elevators from that side.
So who will make that decision?
That would be the management.
I mean, I think that the regulations for the operation of the building will probably be that if you're loading in to the elevators on the north end, you'll use the loading dock on the north end. And if you're loading in to the elevators on the south end, you'll use the south end. And I would think that having just a single loading dock on the south end, let's say, would obviously be a supreme inconvenience for anybody who's loading into the elevators on the north end. So I think the idea of having two loading docks is simply designed to create maximum convenience for people loading in and out of the building based upon where the elevators are located and what they service. Would be the building management make those decisions, I'm sure. There may be separate managements too. That's the other thing, is that, you know, there may be ultimately a different management for the affordable units, because they may be managed by somebody who actually manages affordable units.
So then you got two people making that decision.
Given the fact that, as I mentioned before, the project will certainly have some sort of regulations and operational covenants of some kind, and my guess is, they haven't been written yet, we're not that far along on that, but my strong suspicion would be that those regulations will say that if you're using the north elevator, you use a north loading dock, and south, you use a south loading dock.
So what would affordable housing folks say about this? Will they view this as segregation or discrimination? Because that's their thing, and they'll be looking. The fair housing people?
I can't imagine that the fair housing people will not look at this as any way discrimination, certainly not racial. And it may be in the sense that there's an economic difference between what the rents are in the affordable units and the market rate units.
Well,
that's inevitable, right?
I beg to differ on that. Fair housing looks at everything.
Hmm.
They look at everything, so let's be real about that.
Well, I can't presume as to what that they would say.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. That's why I'm asking the question.
I'd only be speculating.
That's right.
I don't see anybody else on the lights. Any other comments before we call the question? All right. Then we have a motion and a second. The motion is to approve, I should be clear. Let's vote.
The motion passes with Director Robinson voting no.
Thank you. Item 9 is closed session, so.
We don't need the closed session.
Don't need it?
No.
Perfect. Then we would be adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.